Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. Just over a year ago, we did a podcast titled, Can I Retire Now? Now, that struck a chord with so many of you because to this day, it's still rated as one of our most downloaded episodes. So we thought we'd dive into the subject of retirement again, but this time, we want to bust some retirement myths and crunch some numbers. That way, by the end of this episode, you will have at least three actionable tips to help you work towards your own retirement plan. So to help me do that is our guest, Beck Wilson, one of Australia's leading authorities on the subject of modern retirement and the founder of Starts at 60, which is the largest online community for baby boomers here in Australia and in New Zealand. Now, Beck just published a book titled How to Have an Epic Retirement. Now, that's what I want to hear. Not just any kind of retirement. It's an epic retirement. Beck, welcome to Friends with Money.
Thank you for having me.
Now, let's kick off with some real talk right now. I myself am 47 years of age, and according to your book, I'm a pre-retiree. Somehow when I hear that term, pre-retiree, I just get nervous. Now, I don't have any bad debts. I don't have a criminal record, but I still get twitchy like I should be preparing for an exam that I cannot afford to fail.
Well, retirement is a really exciting phase for the next generation of retirees coming in. I think that's something that retirement maybe got a bad brand somewhere along the way, and we thought it was about old people. But for our generation coming in, we're the first generation to have 30 years of superannuation up our sleeve as we approach retirement. And that's going to give us a lot of opportunity. People who were born after 1971 have a 50% chance of living to 100 years old. And the way we use our lives is going to be totally different to generations before us. So at 47, you've actually got some of the most optimistic views to look into of your retirement ahead. But what you have to do is plan, prepare, and save. And when I say that, you can actually be quite passive about it so long as you get the steps in place to start the compound investment process, right?
Yeah.
The earlier you start, the more money you have when you get there, almost by doing nothing.
I love that. Anything where I don't have to do anything, but there's money at the end of the road, fantastic. But you did touch on a very important point here about what we think retirement is about. Like, I just have this vision of someone who's just so exhausted and you can't do anything. You can't really do any work. So now you retire because that's what happens. But it's, you know, contrary to that, I see a lot of people who are traveling, hiking, really enjoying active lifestyles after doing full-time work.
Look, you're thinking like a 47-year-old, not like a 60-year-old, right? There's a wave of happiness that you're actually at your lowest at 47. And then things start to get better when you find the types of work that are enjoyable in the second half of your life. And then you reach retirement, a period where you're really living it up because it's the first time in your life where you actually have choice. You, if you get your situation right now and you get to compound for the next 15 or so years of income, so that you have a secure retirement, you then get to say, well, what am I going to do with my time? I don't have to use it to work for money. And you get to completely rebuild your vision of yourself.
Mm.
It's a blooming exciting thing to be able to do, to be honest. And it's not something any generation before us, other than the ones living it right now, mm-hmm. have ever had an opportunity to do.
Well, I'm hoping your enthusiasm is contagious enough that it's like reaching all our podcast listeners. Now, I do have to say that this is against the backdrop of probably one of the kind of worst or uncertain times for a lot of people. I mean, we've just come out of, you know, arguably the worst of COVID. We're living with it. Mm. Now we've got cost of living, et cetera, et cetera. So what would you say to people who are looking at this book and going, not really. I'm kind of on struggle street at the moment.
Yeah. So an epic retirement isn't just for the wealthy. It's for everybody. And it's partly because it's built into your attitude to the way you approach using your time and your money. Some of the how do I say it, more financially insecure people I know still live a phenomenal retirement because they prioritize the things that they really value in life. And they work hard to make a few extra dollars through salary and staying in the workforce and add that to their pension or their other passive income opportunities to make their ends meet or to try and make their retirement comfortable, even if they're under the comfortable level that ASFA predicts.
Okay, so you've mentioned the word passive twice now, like, you know, saving, you know, a lot of money out of doing nothing. Can you give me a couple of specific examples of how someone in their 30s or 40s can kind of build their savings passively for retirement?
Well, let's talk about compound investing, right? It's a fundamental tenement or the eighth modern wonder of the world, Albert Einstein said, actually. So if you take $100,000 and you put it into your investment portfolio today, in 1 year, it'll be worth $107,000. You then take that $107,000 and you reinvest it the next year, and it will generate a little bit more each year. As you get further into time, the amount that's going on the top as interest earned off it at, let's say, somewhere between 7 to 10% will allow you to achieve a significantly more rapid growth rate. You can actually get over a 30-year period to a savings base of $2 million or more dollars just by investing that $100,000 at the beginning and adding $15,000 into your super fund using your concessional contributions and investing that at between a 7 to 10% return every year. If you get that structure set up early in life, whether that be that you have 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, or 30, the amount of compounding you can stretch yourself to achieve will do a lot of work for you without you having to work and save more. The more you save, obviously, the better the situation is for you. But the longer you let it compound, ultimately, is how the majority of the work is done.
Okay, I'm starting to feel better now. I know that you then you threw in another term there, concessional contributions. We'll park that to the side for now. Mm-hmm. I did promise earlier that we will be busting some retirement myths or retirements, if you like. Quickly, what are the most financially damaging retirement myths you've come across over and over again?
Yeah, that the pension is for poor people. Let's start there. I think that's a really important myth to bust. 62% of Australians over the age of 67 access some form of pension in Australia. And that is an enormous number. It's 3 in 5 people, right? If you can access the pension, you also get access to the pension concession card, which gives you discounts on pharmaceuticals, visits to the doctor, enormous discounts on your rates, registration, things like that. The benefits that come with being able to access it, even if you only are able to access a dollar, is quite phenomenal. The other thing about the pension is that even if you don't qualify for it as you go into retirement, as you eat down some of your superannuation and savings, you might be able to access it later in retirement, and it could supplement some of your income. It might not be your whole source of income, but it could be some of it, and you could top it up with your superannuation drawdowns.
Yeah, pension is not just for poor people.
Let me talk about time.
Okay,
hey, can I talk about time?
Sure.
I think we have this view, and again, it comes back to this old view of retirement. Back in 1950, you used to retire at the age of 50 and live till you were 60 and die. You didn't live for your retirement. You didn't look forward to it. Your body was in such poor shape by the time you got there that retirement wasn't this enigma. Now, if you retire, average lifespans are for men 85 years, for women 88 years in Australia right now. And if the cures and health discoveries that are going on all around the world take hold, we could live another 10 years, right? So what happens if we're living to 95 or 100 years old? I mean, my lifespan calculator says I will live to 97 and I'm 47 today. So if I retire at 67, which is the government mandated retirement age or the pension age, I've got between 25 and 27 years to live to the age of 88, right? If I live longer, what am I going to do with my time? Time is everything in retirement, and how you use it, what you find in your purpose, and how much money you need to manage all the way through that period of time is a very important and topical discussion because I think we rely too much on historical reflections of that information.
All right. So we've got time. Pension is not just for poor people. It is a core plank of living retirement. What's the third one?
Okay, the third one I'm going to give you is that the 10-ish years before retirement are actually, they're a pretty sexy time in your life. And I don't think we talk about this pre-retirement phase enough, because you get two options during this phase, or two opportunities during this phase. Let's say your kids are hitting the age where they're getting their P plates. And I often like to talk about that as probably one of the most important financial review periods in your life. You need to stop and take a good set of adjustment as they get their wings and fly away, right? Or at least some of their independence, and you stop, if you are paying school fees, you know, even just the incidental costs of schooling, if you can now start to divert some of that towards planning for your retirement and start to think about how you get your money into a compounding investment cycle, so that by the time you get to 65, 67, and you want to retire, you have got a significant period of time. You could have between 10 and 15 years of pre-retirement from after the kids are out the top of the P plates and into independent, for that money to grow. And most people's money, if it's growing at between 7 and 10%, will double every 7 to 10 years, right? So if you've got $200,000 today, you'll have $400,000 in 7 to 10 years. So that window of opportunity is pretty tight. But also, it's a pretty important time for us to start practicing. Because if you think about the fact that when you stop work cold, most people get lost in that transition in retirement. Mm-hmm. But if you start now and say, right, retirement's about joy, it's about choices, it's about fun, what if I can start to move myself towards the type of job where I can be a part-time retiree, or simply have a bit more choice in my life before I give up work? Mm-hmm. Retirement doesn't have to be a stop dead, I'm going to give up working forever kind of thing. In fact, the research shows that you live longer if you keep working. So it would make a lot more sense to think about this 10 years, 15 years stage of life as an adaptive phase, and one you can really enjoy yourself traveling through. You can start to take sabbaticals, go on longer trips, take a day off every fortnight to play with your grandchildren if you've started to get a few along the way. You know, make choices in life that make life more enjoyable.
So it feels like you have to kind of stretch your limbs before retirement. This is not just like an alarm clock where it's like, okay, I'm 67. Bye guys, I'm off to do this. You really want to start thinking about it in your late 40s, maybe early 50s. But it's very comforting to know that for those of, you know, our listeners who are in their 20s or 30s, it's not like you have to hit the panic button. You just have to plan and prepare. The key takeaway for me is really like, make sure compound interest is working for you, not against you. So you really have to think about that. And then just to kind of wrap it up, can you give me what would be your kind of most powerful recommendation for anyone who's kind of really green to this idea of retirement? Like, what are the terms, retirement terms that they need to know? And I think earlier, it starts with C.
That's it. That one there, if you get in and make your concessional contributions from early in life, or as early in life as you can afford, that the government mandates that you are saving 11% as a part of your salary contribution now, your compulsory contribution, that alone is getting you a long way towards your goal in your earlier phase of life. As long as you've reviewed what your superannuation is invested in and you have it in a kind of growth suited asset that's going to keep compounding. Now, come along and say, right, can I put more into super? Can I use the concessional contribution, which is $27,500 a year, that is at 15% tax? Can I contribute any more to that to get more money into superannuation earlier, have it on a solid investment structure inside super so that it compounds? And honestly, your financial part will be on its way to
your job
to the
is
good
done.
Parts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Your job is fairly well done. Mm-hmm. You then have to keep watching your super fund,
yes,
making sure that your investment is performing,
yeah,
making sure that you're with a good super fund, right? And making sure that you're starting to think about all the other parts of retirement and who you are, who you want to be, mm-hmm, what you want to do with that money.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of people saving money for retirement who are nearing retirement and they actually haven't figured out how much money they need, and when they might then have to work, how long they'd have to work for.
Concessional contribution is by law the amount of money you can put in per year into super, so that it's
15% tax.
Pretty cool. 15% flat tax, no questions asked. So 27,500. And then on top of that is then what you call your non-concessional contributions.
Well, that's $110,000 a year that you can contribute into superannuation. And you have the opportunity to put more in up to, you can claw forward 3 years if you have the opportunity through the sale of a property or something to that effect. You also have the downsizer concession. Once you hit 55, you get a one-off opportunity to put $300,000 per person into your super fund from specifically from the downsizing of your home.
Mm-hmm.
Those things can make an enormous difference to your super balance at retirement.
Furiously taking notes. Beck, I mean, can I just say I finished reading your book. It's fantastic. There's a great section at the back as well on travel, which is very unusual for a personal finance book, if you like. I think our readers will love this. Our listeners will love this. Once again, congratulations and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And by the way, if you'd like to get your own copy of Beck's book, we've got a little prize giveaway happening right now. We've got 5 books to give away. All you have to do is send us your email details or fill in our prize giveaway on moneymag.com.au. Well, before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions. If you have any follow-up questions for Beck, or any comments, what you think of retirement, send it over to podcast@moneymag.com.au. That's it for now. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.